Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
This episode of the JB and Benny Blue Review is brought to you by our friends at SavageCBD.com. Get the best in CBD products and get a deal while you're at it. Use our code REVIEW, that's REVIEW, for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. Go to SavageCBD.com right now.
Hey, Bird Gang, this is your boy, former Cardinal Jeremy Bridges. Tune into the number one podcast on the web, my show, JB and Benny Blue Review, right here on KSRN Arizona.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the JB and Benny Blue Review live stream. I'm your guy, Benny Blue. JB will hopefully be joining us here on shortly. We do have a special guest joining us tonight on the live stream for episode 203 of your favorite goddamn podcast live stream, the JB and Benny Blue Review. Follow us on all social media at JB and Benny Blue Review. Let me get my shit together and turn my lights so you fine folks that see me take off these fucking nerd glasses. There we go. Bam! Nice and bright. In case you missed live stream, all good. We are on all streaming platforms in podcast form, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Of course, we are available in the desert, azcasualsports.com, live streaming out of Phoenix, and we are a part of the Believe Podcast Network. There's a ton of great podcasts on that network from former athletes and coaches and all types of cats that you know. Of course, make sure to check out JB's live stream on Tuesdays. That's the Burning Bridges podcast, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. Got to correct that, 9:30 Eastern, with time change for the desert folks. They're on AAT Sports underscore and AAT Birds. Shout out to our All About the Birds guys out of Philly, showing love. And of course, our sponsor, SavageCBD.com. Use code REVIEW for 15% off your first order and free shipping. And listen, sponsors, questions, hate mail, whatever you got, hit us up, jbandbennybluereview@gmail.com. And if you are tapping in, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, at any point, please drop in a comment or question, and we will get into all that shit coming up. Oh, we are about a quarter of the way through the season, so you know we're going to talk some Lakers. We're bringing back a familiar face to talk about that. At this point, our good friend is probably going to have to join us for the duration of the show if we can hold him, so we can get into some college football, some Heisman, and of course get into a brief NFL recap and Week 14 Savage picks. So without further ado, we ain't going to hold any longer. He's back for the first time in a long time. Our guy and yours, the official Lakers correspondent, Dr. Timothy J. Tinkle. What's happening,
sir? Yo. Happy to be here, man. Happy to be here. It's been a while.
You're looking good. I trust the chair is not squeaky. Should we give it a test? Yes. Do you need to fucking rock back and forth?
No, we're good. We're good. We're all good.
All right. So you're here. Yes, earlier, sir. We were texting each other like a bunch of wild ass, like 3-4 team trade scenarios, but yeah. Let's get into it. You've been on the record and off about this. Lakers are 13-12 right now, and they're 6 in the West. I know what you're going to say, but for our viewers out there, and your assessment as are the official Lakers correspondent, what's the problem? What's the deal with this team?
Okay, so you got a LeBron who's spends $1 million on his health a year. The guy's in tip-top shape. The guy has been a little banged up, but he's fine. He's always going to be LeBron, especially come playoff time. You got Westbrook. We knew what we were getting with the guy. We knew it. But he's actually playing well right now. He's the only guy, I would say, on the team that's giving it 100% 100% of the time. Here's where the issue is. the brow. What is he doing? Brow. What is he doing? He's banged up all the time. And if I recall, like, nobody else had this problem for the Lakers in the last 20 years, at least. Nobody that I can think of, really. Like, they've always had their strength and conditioning coaches are always good. All this stuff is always good.
Correct.
So why is he the problem? He doesn't show the leadership. You know, Kobe once said that, you know, if he's got a sprained ankle, if he's hurt, if this, if that, he's going to play. Anthony Davis has a stomach cramp and he's out for 2 weeks. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And at some point, we got to hold the guy accountable. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be Frank Vogel that gets the can before, you know, management actually steps up and says, hey, AD, you really need to play like, you know, you just got a 5-year deal. Like, we owe you over $100 million. You know, we were trying to, like, in those trade scenarios, trying to figure out how the money would work, and it's really difficult league wide. Like, who's gonna do that? It's just interesting. Like, where is this guy? Like, where is the why won't anybody hold him accountable? It's just really, really odd to me, especially because he is what you would call your franchise player, even above LeBron, even above Westbrook. And to me, at some point, we really got to start looking at AD and saying, hey, dude, what's going on outs off the court? Like, is the living in L.A., is it too much, right? Is it I know we both know there's a lot going on out there. You know what I mean? Is that too much? I think we got to really start looking at that. And he does need to take the blame. And you and I have talked, and I keep sending you screenshots every other day about, you know, somebody else talking crap about AD finally. But for me, it's like, I don't know that the answer is that you just got to get rid of him. I don't think that's the answer, but I do think at some point we got to start holding the guy accountable. And maybe that does mean a trade, or maybe that does mean, you know, getting rid of somebody else that complements him a little better. But at some point we really got to take it to AD.
Yeah, and the whole purpose of him coming to LA and why LeBron wanted to recruit him to LA was that eventually he would take the reins from LeBron, where LeBron could be officially the number two guy, and that's fine, given how long LeBron has been played and how many miles he has on his body. And if you look at AD's contract, you brought up his contract, right now his base salary is $35.3, and then that goes up. So not only are you committing to this guy with his deal that expires, he's unrestricted free agent in 2025, his base goes up. It goes to 37.9, 46, and then 43.2 in 2024-25. Yeah. And by that time, LeBron is literally going to be on the court with a hover round, and Bronny is going to be like, is going to like be on the G League team trying to finesse his way just to do whatever he can to manipulate himself.
Yeah.
The Lakers. Yeah. So that's what you get. But when we are talking, when we're doing these trades, Ben Simmons and literally all these guys, it's interesting because now there seems to be those three teams. There seems to be this collective problem where you got the Blazers and Dame Lillard, where Dame isn't going to come out and say he wants a trade, but he's clearly crazy, banged up, and he's done about as much as he can do with that franchise and with the current squad around. We were talking about Nurkic earlier today. Then you go to the Sixers, the whole Ben Simmons shit. You know, oh, he's just showing up to the team psychologist so he doesn't get fined anymore, and it's ridiculous. They gotta figure out something to get him out of there. And yeah, Now you got AD. So one of the trades I pitched you was finding a way to get AD to the Bulls, and then I think in that one I sent you, Dame went to the Sixers, and yeah, then Ben Simmons went out to LA because he wanted to go out to LA. But
yeah,
I know that you wanted to see Dame Lillard get to LA, but then yeah, you got the overlap between him and right, Westbrook, and they have all those guys on 1-year deals, which I don't think, given how the CBA works, I don't think they could actually flip them because they just signed them. So it's a tricky situation where everybody's like on this 1-year deal with the Lakers.
You can get rid of, is it 6 months? There is a rule about it, but I believe it's you can get rid of them first year. They can be traded, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think they can get traded. And even still, I don't think you get rid of Westbrook. I just don't think you do. He's a good, I think he's at the very least a good leader. to make that Nurkic and Dame deal work, you'd probably have to have THT in the deal, and if that's the case, you just can't do that because he realistically is going to be a good scorer. He's going to be a good teammate. He's going to go do whatever you ask of him, and he's going to do it for, I think he's at $9.5 million.
Right.
You might check that. But, yeah, that's what you'd have to do to make that work.
Yeah.
Then you could almost do a straight-up Nurkic and Nurkic and Dame deal for Anthony Davis and THT. That would work, but and to me that works because LeBron took Big Z to the playoffs. He's had a bunch of weak ass, five position guys, and he's still always done it.
Yeah, in his prime, when he was taking cab drivers to the finals, in his prime. Yeah, but now it's like you said.
Yeah.
No matter how much he takes care of his body, now he's getting to that point in his career where that nagging little injury will take him off long. Because let's be honest, as tough and much of a competitor as Kobe was in the twilight of his career, those kind of injuries when he had the issues with his shoulder and the nagging stuff that took him out for longer.
Go away.
And yeah, that was the that's the thing that killed him in that stretch after they won back to back in 2009, 2010. There was a dude, you remember, there was a huge gap when the Lakers were very mediocre to bad for several years.
Real bad.
In a
row. Yeah.
And really, that was, I mean, let's be honest, the last game of Kobe's career, that was a regular season game. It was in April. In 2016, they played the Jazz. So it's like, and you saw the team they had around
him. That game was important, though. It's kind of funny.
That was an amazing game.
Knocked them out of the playoffs. But
but you know what I mean. It wasn't like they're playing in the finals. Like their season was over after that. Regardless,
I've kind of been wondering myself. It's like, so if LeBron's not going to lead you to the championship, who is, right? Because if I'm looking around the West, I'm looking at Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Chris Paul is playing just out of his mind. It makes you wonder if they would have never got rid of that CP Chris Paul trade to the Lakers, like would they have had more chips, right? Because he would have been taught how to win a little better, things like that. But if I'm the Lakers, I'm looking around the West and I'm like, how am I going to get through this? And I think the only way is going to be if Anthony Davis plays like he should be, like he's paid to.
Well, you brought up the Suns and the Warriors. It's the biggest indictment about how the Lakers are constructed. It's the seniors team. Because if you look at the Suns, they got Bridges and they got all these young guys. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the Warriors, now you see the rise of guys like Jordan Poole, and they have these younger role players that are kind of lift them up. But when you look at the Lakers, it's all these one-year guys who can come in and get hot in streaks. Like Carmelo can come in for 15 minutes a game and get hot, but that's just it. It's 15 minutes. He's not going to be like fucking, you're not going to put it on his back like he's still with Denver in the fucking
This kind of reminds me of that Portland Trailblazers team when Scottie Pippen went out there. And they looked like,
like 99, 2000. Yeah. Like right after he left Chicago. Yep.
Yeah. Like they had all the talent. And they should have won, but they didn't. Yep. And then, it reminds me of also when Gary Payton and Malone went to the Lakers, right? They should have won that championship as well.
No, they shouldn't have. They lost to my Pistons. Are you kidding me? They got smoked, son.
No, they should have won. They should have won.
No, they shouldn't have. Come on. You don't even believe that. That's garbage. Karl Malone and an AARP membership. Like
who cares about them? You don't even need them. You had Kobe and you had Shaq. You had the two of the most dominant players that have ever laced them up.
Right. Who were at each other's throat at the time. I mean, to be honest, if they were on better terms, that would have been, I don't know if they would have won the series, but it would have been a much better series that they could have won.
Yeah.
But I think that was the year Kobe was going through his drama. It was a lot that they had, but it goes back to the point that they had their guys who could have like kind of stepped up when they needed them to. They were way out of here. So now you have this team. It's going to be hard to and let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Are the Lakers going to admit that they really do need to flip AD and make a trade during the season? They're probably not going to do that. Even though they're probably having conversations, they're probably actually trying to figure that out as we speak. as we're on the air right now. They're downtown right now at crypto.com arena trying to figure it out.
Arena.
I know. Hey, man, get used to it.
The letters came down, baby. The letters came down, man.
I know. It was so weird to see, but everyone's still going to call it Staples. But they're down there right now. They're not the arena. They're over in El Segundo at the facility with the trophies. It's Genie and it's Rob. And they're sitting there like, man, we really got buyer's remorse in this AD shit. What the fuck are we going
to
do?
Mrs. Rambis is over there trying to direct them. Mm-hmm. AD, get out of here, bud.
Even Kurt's in there with his rec spec. Like, what are we going to do? And they're figuring it out. And so let's be honest, they're probably not going to make a move. So putting a bow on the Lakers topic, let's just say they don't make any changes and they keep them, even though they should really embrace the youth movement. That's I got off track, but that's why I brought up the Warriors and Suns, because they insulated guys like CP with the young stars that are good, solid role players. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? What's more likely to happen? AD plays the five or Frank Vogel gets fired like on Christmas Day?
Oh, on his birthday, on Jesus' birthday.
You give him a Greyhound ticket?
He's getting, maybe, not even. They're getting some guys from the South Side to come pick his ass up. Hey, get over here. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. All right. So you're on the bench. Let's say they fire Frank and Dr. T, they hand you the clipboard. What are you doing? How are you shaking up with the pieces? You can't make any trades with this roster that they have. What are you doing? And I can pull up the depth chart if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, but as I'm doing that, give me the skinny. What are you doing?
So I would probably look at my starting lineup first to see how I could, get Anthony Davis involved and involved early every game. So unfortunately, Westbrook's probably going to have to ride the pine and probably bring him in with Melo. And then that way, when they're playing together, they can just go off. Then I'm going to have, Rondo hasn't been playing many minutes, but I would probably put Rondo. And I think with that, and then THT, I think you're probably going to be in a better situation than you are now. I think it's Anthony Davis is real confidence oriented. If he doesn't have the confidence, he just can't play. So I would say I would probably have to see if Westbrook would come off the bench, and then just really, almost like a triangle offense, go back to the triangle and get Anthony Davis involved early. Him and LeBron giving goes, just darting to the basket. To me, you have the talent. Like, even though you have these guys are old, it seems to me that they could do it. And maybe doing a great job isn't winning a championship, but I think it's not being 500,
Yeah, and I mean, even seeing some of the games recently, for those who can't see the depth chart on the screen, Malik Monk has actually been getting decent minutes. Carmelo can do what to do. Dwight obviously has been there, won the title with the team, and he can be good in limited minutes. I mean, I still don't know exactly how DeAndre Jordan fits in. It's weird because it's like you kind of look at, and obviously they got Rondo, who's got playoff experience, but you kind of look at the squad. It's like, the only like young dynamic guy that they have really is THT, because they don't have Caruso anymore. And with just collectively with all the trades, all the guys that they've dumped, they don't really have that young energy guy anymore, like a Caruso and some of these other dudes. And I think it's going to hurt them, honestly.
Yeah,
moving forward.
And even like one of the Morris twins, didn't they have one of the Morris twins when they won the championship? I mean, they need an energy guy that doesn't really care about scoring. That can really, really focus, change the focus to how can we get Anthony Davis involved? Some shooters.
Right.
The biggest problem that we were going after in the offseason, and then we decided to sign, Wesley Akers freaking rest home. You know what I mean? But that's what it seems like.
Shady Akers retirement village? Yes. You.
Yeah.
You got a jumper? Come on out.
Right.
That's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see. We shall see with your Lakers. The good doctor has been good enough to join us again, stepping in here for JB. If you are just tapping in for the first time, follow us at JB and Benny Blue. And for all the Bird Gang fans, go to our website, jbandbennyblue.com, for the exclusive merch. If you want a Super Kyler shirt or hoodie or a Bird Gang All Day shirt or hoodie, use codes Kyler and Bird Gang respectively for 15% off. And again, tap in with our friends over at savagecbd.com. Use code REVIEW for 50% off first order and free shipping. Again, if you're dropping in either on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube at any point, please make sure to drop a comment or a question. All right. So we got the good doctor here, and we've been – listen, he and I have been fucking over the moon about this Michigan Wolverines team. And the college football playoff is set, and, man, it's going to be interesting. You got Michigan, and you got Georgia, and then you have Bama and Cincinnati. And now both of those games are going to be on New Year's Eve. So – right off the bat, what do you think about the matchup against Georgia? Do you think Michigan? How well do you think Michigan matches up against Georgia? Let's start there in that game.
Well, I think for Georgia, Michigan matches up really well. You're talking about a Georgia team that after Alabama dropped 40 on them, allowed an average of 9 points for the whole year. Then you got Michigan with this running game. It was really nice to see the passing game at the Big Ten Championship. It was pretty well. They did it. They did all right.
He went deep a couple times to Antrell Anthony, and I mean they really, it was a very like well balanced diet offense. I mean,
I will tell you,
and how could it not? You, I mean, they whooped them 42-7. So right. Jesus, they can do whatever they want.
I will tell you some of these catches though. Our receivers were really, for the first time all year, making just some wild catches. I don't know if it that way on TV or not, but there it just, one-handed catches in the end zone. They played lights out, and I think that they're really just starting to reach where they could get to with Hutchinson. I think, man, he's just playing out of his mind right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they match up great, but I think this could be kind of an old school smash mouth game that can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the bias in me is going to lean towards Michigan, but honestly, based on how they've developed, basically. And I listened to an Aiden Hutchinson interview earlier today. He was on Rich Eisen, and he was talking about how they kind of, even though there was a lot of factors that came into play as to why they blew it against Michigan State when they held that lead and they didn't get that touchdown, that fumble recovery in the end zone, a touchdown call for them. He made a good point, and he just kind of said that they kind of needed that L to obviously, stop smelling their own piss, as JB says, and, kind of really check themselves in the mirror in terms of what they needed to do better. And I think ever since that game, you saw their offense get a lot more balanced. I mean, hell, it was on full display when we finally beat, the Rats of Columbus and beat Ohio State in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think it's only gotten better. And, you talk about on the defensive end, I mean, you got the two killers coming off the edge, particularly, with Aiden Hutchinson, who is a Heisman finalist. And we're going to get to that in a second. And I think if they can really limit the dynamic plays from Georgia, if they can really make it a time of possession game, they're not going to be able to run the ball over them like they did over Iowa. Let's be clear about that.
Right,
but
right.
If they can have long drives and keep the possession going,
Let me ask you this: Does Georgia wake up after that loss? Because they just got bitch slapped.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's like there's no real good intel about how they're going to match up other than just like trying to watch tape on both teams. So it could be a situation where, Georgia realizes that they let one get away and they could be on fire. I mean, look, I'm just gonna be honest. I'm ecstatic that they checked two big boxes this year, beating Ohio State and making it to the college football playoff. Well, and winning the Big Ten championship for the first time since 2004, which is still crazy to think about that it's been that long. But it's been real roller coaster ever since Lloyd left, and they just the Rich Rod era and all that Brady Hoke and all this bullshit to finally get to where they're at now. And then like the first 5 years of Khaki Man and him being set in his ways. And shout out to Josh Gattis, won the Broyles Award for one of the best coordinators. He finally figured out how to utilize his talent and balance the run pass play calling. So now they're finally, like you mentioned, now they're finally starting to figure it out. So my theory is, and we talk about this a little offline, I feel like that even if they lose this game, or let's say they win and they go to the championship game, they lose, or in the fucking kind of sort of miracle, if they run the table and they win a natty, honestly, I think the fact that they're getting this far is only going to finally solidify them in that conversation, because now the recruits, you know how the kids are nowadays, they're going to start seeing that, and some of the guys who are interested and maybe got courted by some of these other schools like the Ohio States of the world are going to commit and sign that LOI with Michigan. And plus now that transfer portal is going to be going crazy. Like, they're going to be pulling in some kids alone off the transfer portal.
Especially with as many big coaching changes as there are this year. I think that transfer portal is going to really open up. I know they've had more people enter the portal this year than any year ever. So that's a big deal, you know what I mean? And I think that really can play dividends, especially as great as a recruiter as Khaki Man is. I think this really could be the beginning of something good, especially when,
finally,
you know, I remember talking to you the last couple of years, we were ready to can his ass, and I'm kind of glad they didn't, because it's pretty sweet to watch them win that Big Ten championship, you know, and then to just drag Ohio State too.
Well, I knew, I mean, as bad as it was last year during the COVID year where they played six games like a high school rugby team or some shit. Once he took the pay cut, when he cut his salary like in half, that's when I kind of knew, like, okay, he might be kind of turning the corner. He might, you know, he might stop worrying about, you know, drinking his milk and all this other stupid shit he was talking about. I feel like once I saw that he got the extension, but he took the pay cut, I was like, I'm going to give him a chance when he was willing to be like, I got to earn it. And the cool thing is, it's like, it makes sense. You get the bonuses, like whatever it is, like the $500,000 you get for winning the Big Ten championship or going or whatever the thing. And then he gave it to the employees that lost wages over COVID. So you're doing solid things, Khaki Man. You're not quite off the leash yet, but you've done enough to be like, okay, that extension was warranted. Now, I brought up Aiden Hutchinson. They released the Heisman finalists. You got Bryce Young, Alabama, who had a lights out game against Georgia. Of course, Aiden Hutchinson, to me, I think he actually might be a decent comp with like TJ Watt. He's kind of a little undersized, but he's got that motor and he's going to go in the first round for sure. He may go to my kiddies. God bless him. CJ Stroud, Ohio State. I don't think he's got a shot. He's a little bit young. Maybe next year he'll be more realistic. Yeah. And then Kenny Pickett, AKA, did you see that? The fake slide, the okie doke from Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh. Who do you think wins, honestly? And do you think anybody got snubbed that's not on this list?
I don't honestly, the Heisman, I don't think that anybody's really a big snub. I do think Bryce Young is going to win. I think he's going to win it easily, especially after,
it's hard to win on 40. Defense.
Yeah. Yeah. When is the last time a defensive guy won it? Was that
a long time, but you know what defensive guy did win it?
The GOAT. Yeah.
The GOAT won it.
Yeah. So I think really it's a two-man race between Hutchinson and Bryce Young. I think the media is loving Hutchinson right now. They really are, because he's a true pro already. You can tell he's a true pro. You can tell he's going to be a great teammate in the NFL. You can tell he's going to be a leader. But Bryce Young, I think that exclamation point on the end of the year, I just don't think anybody's going to top that this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bryce Young will win it. To be honest, I kind of feel like, I know like they had like a like kind of a bad last few weeks, but I think Kenneth Walker III, the running back from Michigan State, should have got nominated. And I think he should have got nominated. I don't think he would have been close, but I think he should have got
nominated. Were they two loss or three loss?
Michigan State, I think, because they lost to Ohio State. They got crushed by Ohio State, and then they lost to Purdue, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then the college, going back to the college football ranking, they finished up 10th. So they you could are have, in,
that's definitely arguable for sure, especially you know, top 10 finish. Yeah. It's weird this year. I feel like they, you know, I feel like they got the playoffs right. I feel like they got the Heisman right. It's kind of made it not as drama filled as every other year, which is pretty. It's interesting. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for them. I think as much as they hit the playoffs on the head this year, maybe that kills the argument for you know, expansion of the playoffs.
I still think it should be at least six. Personally, I think it should be at least six. I think you can make an argument for 12 and give the first four teams a bye. But
yeah,
you know,
I think if you do that, then you got to go. I'm all for like a major restructure, because I think it's time. The money's there. More people than ever are interested in college football. So to me, it seems like the right time to pull either the expansion of the playoffs or the complete, you know, changing of the conferences and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, hell, you can make an argument that there really needs to just be four. You could really honestly make it four major conferences, and then you still have like kind of like the lower level, like Conference USA, MAC, WAC, you know, some of those, where it's like you could have the Pac-12, you could have the Big Ten, you could have the ACC, and then you could have the SEC, realistically. Because we're pretty much trending to where the Big 12 isn't going to exist in 10 years. I mean, I think we've talked about it as much. I personally believe that Notre Dame and Cincinnati should get moved to the Big Ten. And I mean, if you're just breaking everything up anyway, then that means like Iowa State needs to come to the Big Ten. And it's like, you might as well just load it up, because Texas and Oklahoma are going to be in the SEC come 2024 anyway. So it's like A&M and some of those other schools, Baylor, some of those other schools, they either need to get down with like the SEC or the Pac-12. And it just should be really like four. And then on the East Coast, then you still have the Clemsons, the all those same guys like Duke, North Carolina, Florida State. But then it's like get Maryland and Rutgers out of the Big Ten, please. Like, I know why they did that for the TV rights, the recruiting, but send their asses back to the ACC, and then just make like add like those Big East type schools like Boston College and Connecticut or whoever is going to be in that conference. But to me, that's how it's going to end up. And then you're going to have like the Boise States of the world and all those like kind of like at large guys who are going to come around and eventually get in. So, but I do think they should expand it. But yeah, we both think Bryce Young, and I think he's going to win. It would be a great story if Aiden would win it, but I don't think he is going to win it. So there you go. We're going to see what happens. All right. Before we get on up out of here, we're going to make some football picks, goddammit. You know how we do it. We do savage picks, and this is week 14. Dr. T stepping in. We're going to get JB's picks here on our social media, which is at JB and Benny Blue. So Dr. T, right off the bat, we got Thursday Night Football. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Skol Vikings, who lost on the last play to my damn kitties. And the line is 3 for the Vikings at home. Who are you thinking on this one, sir?
Pittsburgh. I'm excited to see them. I think this could be a game where they kind of got some stuff to prove. They really do. And then with it being you know, coming out over the last week or so that it's going to be Ben's last year, I think they're going to have something to prove. Running game should be pretty strong. I think this one's Pittsburgh.
See, I'm going the other way. I think the Vikings win. Now, you got to remember, the Steelers won last week because the Ravens tried to go for two and they blew it. So they barely got that W.
Yeah.
They're banged up. I think the Vikings are going to be more steady at home. This is, you know what type of year this has been. This has been very much like an up and down roller coaster year. So whenever a team, unless a team's truly trash, like my kitties, unless a team is truly trash, they're typically going to come back and win the next game, especially if they're at home. And I think the Vikings, I think the line is, I know what Vegas is doing with that line, so I'm definitely not betting on this, but I'm going to take the Vikings at home. All right, here's a good one. There it is. The Las Vegas Raiders going in the Chiefs Kingdom, the big barbecue pit, and the line is 9.5 for the Chiefs, who are starting to get hot.
I don't think it's even close. I think Kansas City just runs them out of the building.
I agree. I'm taking the Chiefs as well, and I think they're going to start stepping up on defense, and I think week by week, Chiefs are going to start getting back in that Super Bowl picture.
Mr. Carr is about to rip his little afro out of his head.
Oh, Derek. Derek and
he's
his
so
eyeliner.
Funny when he goes to the sideline, man. He's great. But this one's a no-brainer. Kansas City's just they're going to – I think JB said it a couple weeks ago. He's Kansas City's going to come back around, and they are. I don't know that is going to equate to the, you know, to winning a championship or anything like that. But regular season currently, I think they're definitely going to go on a run here. So,
we're both picking the Chiefs on this one. All right, it's that big gumbo bull, baby. The Saints heading to the BUMS bums, bums, bums. Oops, I mean the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets. And the line is 5.5 for the Taysom Hill led Saints on the road.
I'm going to probably take the Jets on this one. I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm curious. I'm thinking weather could be a factor.
It's at MetLife outdoors.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a couple storms rolling through. So I'm going to go ahead with the Jets. I think Taysom Hill, I don't know that he just didn't look very good last week. He looked like they might want to start him at running back.
Yeah. That's why they paid him all that money, so he could play five positions, because that's the only way you can justify the contract. I get it. He had two TDs and four picks. All right, so you're taking the Jets. I'm going to take the Saints only because I can't trust the Jets. The Jets have lost four out of the last five. But I don't know, man. This one is definitely a stay away. I'm definitely not betting on this one. This could be some super jankification going on, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets win, but I can't in good faith pick the Jets, so I'm taking the Saints. All right, AFC South matchup. It's the scumbag Urban Meyer led Jaguars against the Titan Up Titans. Shout out to our guy Mitch, and the line is 8.5 for the Titans at home.
You know, never in my life will I pick Urban Meyer to win a game.
Good man.
Tennessee Titans, I think take it pretty easy.
Yeah, we're about at the point of the year where the Jaguars have officially quit, and they got their ass whooped here in LA pretty badly to the Rams, and I'm taking the Titans as well, who are also going to start getting hot. All right. Interesting matchup, Dr. T. You got quote the Raven Nevermore coming into the dog pound in Cleveland against the Browns. And the line is 2.5 for Cleveland, who are getting, if I'm not mistaken, getting Chubb and Kareem Hunt back. And I don't know about this one there, fella.
Yeah, I think Baltimore's going to win.
Ooh.
Every time I've ever had faith in the Cleveland Browns, they've let me down.
Tell us about it. That's been the whole history of this fucking podcast.
Right.
Every time we believe in the Browns, they screw us over.
I think is Chubb going to be in football shape? Is Hunt going to be in football shape? And Lamar Jackson does have some stuff to prove, because they're not having the year that they thought they were going to have. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think he might come in there kind of pissed off and kind of run all over him. I could see him having a really good rushing game.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. The Ravens did steal one last week, and oddly enough, with the Browns coming off the bye week, they're playing the Ravens in back-to-back games. They lost 16-10 on just a bad performance from, you know, people want to talk about Baker's injuries, whatever, but this one's at home. They're getting some running game back, and they're 6-6, and they need the win, or basically their season is over. So I'm gonna take the Browns at home. I think they get a home grit win, and probably a snowy and weather stadium. All right, it's the Dirty Birds going into JB's former employer, the Keep Pounding Panthers, and the line is 3 for the Panthers at home. The Cam Newton led Panthers, I might add.
Are they gonna start him again?
I guess. I mean, what else are they gonna do?
I guess you're right.
The ghost of Jake DeLome? Like, the hell are they going to do? Like,
I mean, they got PJ Walker. I mean, I guess they could put him in. But
I hate to say this, but I think I'm probably even going to take the Panthers. I don't – if they're at home, Cam likes to play there. The Falcons don't really know what to expect from them this year. Ridley's still out. I hope he's doing well, by the way. I hope he's kind of seeking the help that he needs and everything like that. But definitely going to think Panthers on this one.
Yeah, the Panthers have lost a couple in a row. And I feel like this actually might be the last win of the season, because then they're at Bills, hosting the Bucks, at the Saints, and then at the Bucks. I feel like they may lose all four of those games. So I think they do just enough to get the dub on this one. So against my better judgment, even though, you know, Atlanta might be able to run it up a little bit. Like you said, the whole Calvin Ridley thing is tricky. I'm going to take the Panthers as well. All right. Keeping it moving. It's a ding, ding, ding. How about them Cowboys? I mean, them Cowgirls at the Washington football team. And the line is 4 for Dallas. That's right. We're repping Valley Boys. That's right. Check them out. VBA Clothing. That's right. They're on our Instagram. We are going to be plugging this a lot more. We appreciate the merch, fellas. We're repping this tough. Valley Boys out of Phoenix. Represent. Who do you got in this one, Dr. T? It's an NFC East matchup.
I think I got to go with the Cowboys. They need the win. Washington, too many unknowns, I think. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Big day.
I agree. And you already know it's going to be a week that the Cowboys win, because all these idiots on the Talking Head show is already digging their grave. And so this is going to be the week where they win. So I think the Cowboys, when healthy, are a legitimate contender. I don't know if they're quite as good as the Bucks or the Pack, or certainly JB's Cardinals, but I think they're in the mix, and I think they're going to go and win against a Washington team that plays hard for Riverboat Ron, but they don't have the talent, especially with Chase Young being out for the year, to really do anything. So I'm taking the Cowboys as well. Right, exactly. I like that man. You know, hey, he's a hell of a player. Hopefully he'll be 100% next year. All right, it's the Squawks going in the H-Town. What to do? And the line is 7.5 for the Squawks. Talk about a team who needs a win, Dr. T. The Hobbit and Squawks.
Boy, I don't know. I'm not sure if DK Metcalf can handle another loss. He might have to dye his hair yellow or polka dot or something if they lose this one.
Oh, my God.
I'm concerned with Russell Wilson. I'm hoping his hand is all right. It's at Texans. I think probably the Seahawks are going to end up coming out victorious. I don't know that it's going to be pretty, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm picking the Seahawks as well, but I definitely don't. Vegas is trying to be slick with that 7.5 line to get the action up. I could see them winning by like a 65-yard mule kick field goal to steal one in there, because, like you said, I mean, you just don't really know what you're getting, especially on defense. But if the Texans can't do anything with DK, it's definitely going to be the Squawks on this one. All right, my kiddies. Coming off the first win of the season. Hallelujah. We're not going to go defeated.
Are they going two in a row? You think they're going two in a row?
You tell me. The line is 8 in Mile High against Denver.
You know, I got to go with the Broncos. I don't think the kiddies can do it back-to-back weeks. But, God, it would be sweet if they could.
I mean, listen, good doctor, as you know, on this show, we have to pick our own team. So, of course, I got the kiddies. If the kiddies can make life hard on Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy Bridgewater, really stop the run, although, you know, the Broncos have that rookie who's playing lights out. Again, it's basically what I say every week. If it's time of possession and limiting turnovers and penalties, they can be in the game. It's not that Denver is super dynamic. And the one thing about the kiddies is they haven't, as bad as they are, they haven't quit on the coach. They have a CFL roster, but they're playing their little hearts out. So
yeah,
they could steal one. Definitely wouldn't bet on this one, but Dr. T is taking the Broncos.
I did lay out that playoff scenario for you.
You did. And I said you were on drugs, because that's anybody who believes that is like, that shit was crazy. If this team loses and this team ties and Aaron Rodgers gets COVID, it's like this whole shit. All right. It's GE men against the LA Barstow
San Diego, San Antonio Chargers in LA, and the line is 10.5 for the Chargers, coming off of a whooping of the Bengals last week.
Eckler has a big game. I think they easily take care of business here, and that's if Daniel Jones. I mean, is Daniel Jones? I think he's listed as questionable. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I guess.
He's still dealing with that neck injury. I just can't in good faith pick them. Saquon Barkley's still dealing with some nagging injuries too. I just can't in good faith pick the Giants.
Yeah, and I know the Chargers have been dealing with some COVID stuff, but they have Daniel Jones listed as doubtful, and then they have a bunch of cats questionable. Saquon questionable, Galladay, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard. And listen, I mean, they fired their OC Joe Brady, I think, this week. So their season's over, and the Chargers are in the thick of the playoff hunt. So I'm taking the Chargers, and I'm taking the line. Pow, pow. All right, it's the Niner gang. The Niners going to the big chili bowl in the Bungles, and the line is 1 for Frisco on the road. Ooh wee, Jesus.
Does Burrow get it done? I'm just not sure that he does.
Ooh,
but I think I do got to go with the Bengals. It's hard for me to pick the 49ers in this one. Just at line's 1, it's just too tough to go towards the 49ers on this one.
Yeah, I'm not with the way that the Bengals got whooped early and they started coming back, but obviously they got way too far behind last week. They're not going to drop back-to-back home games. And
no.
I definitely don't trust the Niners to be consistent, and I certainly don't trust them to be consistent going on the road. So that's a weird line, but I'm definitely taking the Bengals as well. All right, now here's a game that I'm definitely going to be watching. It's the Bills Mafia going to that Tampa Bay Pirate ship against the Bucks, and the line is 3 for the Bucks. The Bills just got embarrassed by Belichick on national television. Will they go down there and steal one?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's time. It's Tom time. They're kind of
possible MVP.
Yeah.
Yep.
At 142 years old, he's
142 years young.
Disgusting. It's just disgusting. He's so good. Tampa Bay. People are starting to pick up all around him, too, all around Tom, too. Antonio Brown out and everything like that. Godwin's playing really well. I think they'll be just fine.
Yep. I think Godwin got like 15 receptions last game, so he was going nuts.
Yeah.
He's got the security blanket of old Gronk back. So I agree. I think the Bucks are too dynamic, and look out, man, the Bucks, they might be sailing that pirate ship all the way out here to the West Coast to repeat and go back to the old Super Bowl.
Yes sir.
So I'm taking the Bucks too. Now this game should have been flexed into the Sunday night game, because the Sunday night game is garbage. It's the Bears against the boom 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 go Pack go, and the line is 12.5 for the Packers and Witch's Teat Cold Lambeau Field.
There's like a storm going on in the Midwest this week too. So I'm not sure if by game time they're going to be where we're at. It's going to be warm, so I'm not sure if it's going to be real cold up there. But I think Aaron Rodgers, he's just too good. Obviously,
yeah.
I think he goes back to old faithful. I think Randall Cobb has a good game. I think he does what he does, gets a W. I don't think it's going to be, a huge win. I think it'll be a relatively low scoring game, 24-10, 24-7, something like that.
Yeah, I think the Pack wins. I think it will be a little bit lower scoring than normal, just given the weather. My prediction is that the Bears are going to fire Matt Nagy and make him walk home through the snow all the way down Wisconsin back to Chicago to pick up his shit. Because they are done as well. All right, and finally, it's the LA Rams heading out to the desert to play JB's Cardinals. Ooh, I'm going to be definitely watching this one. This is going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Line is 3 for this hotly contested NFC West matchup.
I don't like that line, to be truthful, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one. I'm thinking... you know, the one thing I am concerned with is their experience come playoff time. You know, to the, for them to go win a Super Bowl, I don't think it's going to go be easy, but I think they can definitely carry through a really good regular season. I think this is kind of the ramp up year to them being, you know, one of the teams. I think that's
the year away year is what you're saying. It's like the year year. No, that makes complete sense. So you're taking the Cardinals. Now, conventional wisdom would say that they're going to split the series because in week four they beat the Rams 37-20. So I'm going to be honest. I can see a few different ways where the Rams go in there and steal one. Because, I mean, hell, they lost to the Packers when they had like half their team out, 24-21. The Packers, that is, had half their team out. So I'm going to take the Cardinals. I mean, Kyler is – I mean, if it's not Brady, he's got to be the MVP. He had two rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns last week, just going absolutely apeshit last week. So I do think because Kyler and D-Hop are back, I do think they're going to win. But, man, I don't trust that line because I really – there is a scenario where the Rams could come in there and steal one. But I'm taking I'm taking the Cardinals as well. All right, bye weeks. You got Chad Carr's Colts, the Hot Fins. I think the Fins have won like five in a row. The Pats, dude, and Dr. T's Eagles are all on bye week. And that's it. I know we switched up the game. JB will be back next week. I appreciate the good doctor for filling in and covering a wide array of topics. And he will be back soon, especially as we get even deeper into the NBA season. And we will see what happens with his beloved purple and gold, as he talked about in the first half of the show. But of course, make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue for all your social media needs. We always repost the full episodes to watch right there on our Instagram. So make sure to tap in with that. If you're a podcast person, fantastic. We got you, baby. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, banging out of your baby mama's Nissan Altima, whatever, however you listen to our show, it's there. We got you. Like, share, and subscribe. And of course, tapping with JB on Tuesdays, Burning Bridges, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. And we love you guys. Until next week, this has been the JB and Benny Blue Review Podcast. Our thanks to Dr. T. And we
thank
are
you
out,
for having
baby.
Me on.
Of course. We love you, brother.
Peace.
And we're out. Peace. Bye.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.